ABC Radio Australia.
To Micronesia now, where beneath the waves of Chook Lagoon is an underwater museum like no other. A ghost fleet of ships and aircraft, once part of a formidable Japanese naval base, now dot the floor of the state of Chook's shallow waters. They lie amid an abundance of coral and sea life, creating a spectacular realm for tourists willing to travel the vast distance to see it. However, Chook's major tourism attraction is also a threat to its very survival. Let's take a listen. Swimming amid the shipwrecks of Micronesia's Chook Lagoon is like diving into a time machine for Ranger Walter.
Like if you go inside the kitchen, you see all the things that we don't even have in Chook, like at that time. It just makes me like addicted to it, like it's another world.
Ranger is the historic preservation officer in the state of Chook. He swims among Chook's 64 shipwrecks often, ensuring the relics and artifacts within remain undisturbed.
You like make sure that there is the plates in the kitchen are still there. There's bullets, there is gun, there is handgun, and there is like a lot of bones too, like human remains, yeah.
More than 4,000 Japanese soldiers perished when Chook was bombarded by US forces at the tail end of World War II. 63 vessels were sunk in what battlefield historian Mac McLaughlin says was revenge for Pearl Harbor.
As the war went on, they were pushed back quicker and quicker. And yeah, Chook is, you know, a perfect example of that, of a base that had been set up as an offensive, base to launch attacks on other areas of the Pacific, soon became a bit of an albatross for them that they were stuck in.
Today, Chook Lagoon is home to one of the highest concentrations of World War II shipwrecks in the world. The wrecks, along with the abundance of coral and sea life, make them a bucket list destination for scuba divers, according to Peter Atten, Chook's Division Chief of Commerce and Industry.
It is the main driver of our tourism over here. 75 to 80% of our tourism come here because of the shipwrecks.
But in the early 2000s, this ghost fleet of wrecks quite literally came back to haunt them.
Way back in early 2000, that's when we first received reports from our fishermen of leaking oil.
Soon after, oil from the wrecks washed up on shore after a strong storm, sparking an international call for aid from the country's then leader, Manny Mori, who labelled the wrecks a ticking time bomb. Help came via Japan's Mine Action Service, which, according to a recent report, has extracted 60,000 litres of oil from the lagoon since beginning operations in 2017. But it only scratches the surface of the overall threat, with recent estimates suggesting up to 22 million litres could still be contained within the vessels.
What's happening right now with global warming and all that, and what's happening to our sea, the rate of deterioration of our shipwrecks has sped up and has started to erode much quicker than we anticipated.
In February, Australia funded an extensive study of the wrecks at the request of Micronesia's government. The study determined 15 of the wrecks would need to be cleaned within 5 to 10 years to prevent a potential large-scale spill. But in September, just a few months after the study was submitted, disaster struck when one of the vessels assessed in the study sprung a leak, which left a layer of oil 10 centimetres thick on the shoreline of a nearby village.
Currently, we are telling the locals to stay away from the water. The oil has reached inland. Four affected villages don't have deep well. They're using rainwater. So there is no contamination of their local water. But they have been reported cases of dizziness and all like that due to the fumes.
A state of emergency was declared, with Micronesia's president, Wesley Simina, raising the matter during his address at the UN General Assembly, saying the scale of the problem far exceeds Micronesia's capacity to address the issue alone. However, getting help is not so simple. According to maritime archaeologist Matt Carter, removing oil from shipwrecks and disposing it safely takes place often in other areas of the world, but at a steep price. He said cleaning up a single wreck in Chook could cost upwards of $10 million.
The challenge with working in the Pacific, so Chook, Solomons, Marshall Islands, is just the sheer distances involved for getting kind of the vessels you'd need, the people, all the equipment there. So the cost is significantly higher than the rest of the world, and the countries in this part of the world are, you know, significantly poorer, generally speaking.
There's also no obligation for countries responsible for putting the wrecks there in the first place to assist, according to Donald Rothwell, a maritime expert and professor of international law at the Australian National University.
The scenario that you're discussing falls within effectively a grey area, because at the time, the modern territories within which these wrecks are located did not exist as independent states. Micronesia has some potential leverage, given its status with the United States under the Compact of Free Association, but otherwise there is something of a political movement to try to reach a global settlement on this question, but that's a process that will take some time.
In the meantime, Chuuk have applied to have the wrecks placed on the UNESCO World Heritage List to build their profile and shed further light on the issue. Outside of that, Peter Atten says there's not much more they can do on their own.
This is just the beginning. So this will be the first one that is leaking out. They did a study on 20 of the shipwrecks, and their estimate is from 3.5 to 6 million gallons of oil spill in our waters. So that would be a very big devastation if one or two or all of them start leaking out at the same time.